Welcome to No Dunks. This is a bit of a break from our regularly scheduled programming. We're here to interview a new colleague, dare I say, a new friend.
Oh,
I'm Tass. With me are Lee and JD. We are here to interview Michelle Beadle. You've seen her on all sorts of NBA properties throughout the
lifetime.
Years. Lifetime Achievement Award. But now she's joining The Athletic to start her own podcast network with the flagship show, What Did I Miss, starting November 15th.
Yeah. Yes. Thanks for having me,
Thank you so much for coming on. You've been, took in it easy, I guess, the last couple of years.
I literally did nothing. it's been over 2 years and saying it sounds like a lot, but it doesn't feel like it was that long, which is really weird. But it's been lovely.
It has been? Yeah. Did you, you get sort of used to it kind of thing?
Way more used to it than I ever thought I would, because I used to just work every day, all day. It was much easier to get used to than I thought it would be. Just get up. What am I going to do today? Kind of just figure that out. Yeah, it's why I keep playing the lottery. I very much would like to do that forever. Truth be told.
Whereabouts did you spend most of it? There, like in Los Angeles, or you moved back to Texas, or where have you been for?
Well, I started traveling, so I went to Switzerland and Italy, and then I went to the UK for a while. When I came back is when basically everything shut down, so I was in LA. And when I left LA in December just to come see family here in San Antonio, and realized once I got here 4 months later that I didn't really need to go back to LA.
Right.
So I put my house on the market there and got something here and. Yeah, haven't gone back. It's very, none of it was planned, which is basically how I like to live my life. And yeah, it's worked out so far. I'm enjoying it.
One other time, I think that you were sort of in between gigs, way back, was probably the last time it didn't work. You were in Canada. The show started in Canada, so I had to ask you why. Why were you in Canada?
Peterborough, Ontario, to be exact.
Wow.
I know. Well, I was in college and I was also kind of working. And didn't want to be in school anymore because my grades were awful and what I thought I wanted to do, I didn't. So I just left. I was dating a boy at the time, obviously. It's always the story. And he was Canadian. Uh-huh. So yeah, I went up there to kind of check it out and I ended up staying for a while and then it was time to leave. But it was lovely. It was very much, it reminded me of sort of some of the small towns around here. Everybody knew everyone and it was just a very easy way of life and I enjoyed it. Weather's a little different, but it was good.
Peterborough, you were way out there.
I mean, way out.
The wilderness. JD, you must know Peterborough. You probably were out there a couple years ago when you're in Bowmanville. Isn't that close?
My parents are now living in Bowmanville, but my cousin lives in Lindsay, which I believe is close to Peterborough. Geography talk.
This show has never been more Canadian. We spent so many years being Canadian. Yeah, do you know Bruce from Canada? Anyway,
wife's from Digby, Nova Scotia.
A Digby shirt. Wow.
I love the Canadian pride, though. Anytime somebody does something in the world, he's Canadian. I love that. I love that. So we don't do that anywhere else.
Well, you said that the weather is different. I dug up a clip of you on a Nets broadcast.
Oh, God.
Back, the segment was, Where's Michelle Beadle? And you had a shovel in your hand, and you were shoveling snow. And you said you shoveled snow for the first time, and your Canada trip had to be before that. So I guess you didn't shovel snow in
I was
Canada.
A guest, okay? They did not make me shovel snow while I was in Canada. And that was definitely my first time shoveling. Look at that form. That is...
Great form.
Was before Connecticut. Yeah, that was before everything. Good. That team, I think, won 20 games that year, so we had to do something. We had to fill up time. Wow.
What year was that? You're working with, the great Ian Eagle, I think.
Yeah. It was Richard Jefferson, kid days.
Early.
2001, 2002, around.
Before they started winning, I guess.
Way before they started winning. That team was really bad. But fun, but bad. They won nothing.
Fun, but bad.
but bad.
I hope that's not a description for your new show. What did I miss? Let's talk about that. Was that a good segue? No. It debuts Monday, as you said, November 15th. What can we expect from What Did I Miss?
There's no reinventing the wheel here. I'm the 8 trillionth person to have a podcast, and I'm very aware of that. So really, I just want to have fun, and I want to speak with friends, and much like what everybody does, like what you guys do. The good podcasts for me are the ones that feel like I'm sort of eavesdropping on friends having a talk, and that's all I want. I didn't want it to be super guest heavy so that people just thought, you know, whatever, that was going to be the way it was. I want it to be a very fun, easy sports, serious, not serious. I want to do a lot more not serious. I think the one thing I learned last time is I think this should be fun. This whole thing should be fun. And so that's what I want to do.
Hmm. You from ESPN, that, you know, obviously in the basketball side of things at the Countdown, but you also did Get Up there for a while. Is there a sport there? No, but is there, like, you know, is basketball your sort of primary focus here, or is it more sort of sports stories in general and whatever's the biggest talking point of the day?
I like to do all of it. I loved doing NBA Countdown mainly because I love the people behind the scenes and, you know, Chauncey and Paul. And I also know that I like to do as many things as possible. I think most of us have sort of an attention span issue these days. And look, sports are a gold mine. I mean, every single day there's something going on in one of the leagues and you don't have to go that far to look for it. So I like the opportunity to go back to that where I can talk about anything and everything. This whole F1 thing, just got into that. That thing's got drama all the time. So yeah, to me, it's always been about the stories. I'm not a stats person or X's and O's. Don't ever come to me for that. The Athletic has like the best journalists on staff. Yeah. So there's plenty of good information. And that's where I hope we can. My whole goal, to be honest with you, is I want to get David Aldridge on, but I want him to just crack. Like, I want him to be goofy. And that's right. My whole goal. It takes me 3 years.
That's ambitious. Yeah, that's ambitious.
That's
ambitious. Yeah.
That's my one goal. Just everything.
Just quickly then, the Formula One was in Austin just recently.
Yes, yeah. It was awesome. That was a people watching extravaganza.
Yeah.
Bobon was there, which is Shaq was walking around and amongst the tiny people. That was a very great image. But yeah, hot as hell, loud as hell, and really fun. I'm glad I got to see one live. At the end of the day, the couch will probably beat most things as far as viewing, but I had to see it. I had to see it once. Next one needs to go overseas, probably England. That'll be my next one.
It's fairly regular, though, on the schedule in Austin these days, isn't it? I think it's on almost every year there now. Is that right?
It is. The last of it, the news part of that was that they're in negotiations with the track itself and that the track needs to be updated. I think a lot of the drivers were complaining about bumps in the way it was riding or driving. So I don't know where they are on the negotiation part, but it'd be stupid for Austin not to be back in it because that thing was 400,000 people in the course of 3 days. Like, that's a money-making machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard one of your biggest worries was that, you know, you wouldn't be able to get out of the parking lot, just like when you go to a game, that kind of thing. But you all good? Because that sounds like a lot of people.
It's a lot. It's my nightmare. Like, I don't like crowds. I avoid almost everything with a crowd. But that was the smoothest thing I have ever been a part of. I would say it's even smoother than getting out of some regular season NBA games. They just had it down to a science. I was very impressed. So yeah, I hope they figure it out, fix the track, do whatever you got to do, and bring those guys back because it's awesome.
You know, I'm from Melbourne originally, which has a Formula One, but whenever the Formula One was on, everyone in the city would drive as if they were a Formula One driver, you know, like just gassing it around the street. So were you the same in Austin there when you're out there? Yeah. You're just like, you're ripping around the streets?
It's so tempting, even when you just watch at home, because the start is so, you know, I'm obviously a very new Formula One fan, but the start is so, you're so anxious because it's the lights, then the lights are gone, and then they go. Yeah, you find yourself, I find myself merging onto the highway in a different way than I used to. I was always a little ragey, but now I'm a little faster and a little ragey. So
Great combination.
Yeah, famous last words. I'm sure I shouldn't say that out loud. Oh, man. Yeah, Australian. That's my favorite drivers, Daniel Ricciardo.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Ricciardo. Yeah,
Mark Webber. He's so Australian. Like, fun.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. Well, we've got an F1 podcast that we do. It's called No Breaks, but we thought we could maybe pitch some ideas for you for your podcast network because you're going to be expanding, right? You're going to be branching out from what did I miss to other directions. Is there any other you can?
I'm a talent scout now.
Yeah. Okay.
But basically, I think that this business, as you guys know, it's so hard to break into. I mean, there could be a million people that are great at it, but you don't get a break or one door to open. You're just going to have to go get a regular job, and it's hard and you're frustrating. So really, I'm all ears and all eyes as far as who's out there and who's new. Yeah, I know. You have to actually work. To me, it's exciting. I just think of like young women, young men who are coming up, who it's a daunting task to break into this world. And I'm hoping, you know, we find the next great person and we can be a part of that building empire. Then, I'm in. I am in.
Well, can you make David Aldridge laugh? I mean, that seems like it's got a series there.
That's its own podcast. Yeah. Just bring him on. Various, and then whoever does, they get their own podcast. Boom. That's actually, that's not the worst idea. Bob, so far. Thank you. You get credit for that. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Guys, do you have Lee, JD, any ideas you want to pitch? Canadian angle, putting you on the spot. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, more so, I think, you know, you seem to be talking a lot about like the international side of things, you know, with the Formula One. I also know that you became quite a big soccer fan. You're sort of a person who you said in one of your own Instagram posts, like you were sort of, I can't remember exact words you used, but you sort of weren't a fan. And then all of a sudden you went to England and all of a sudden you started getting into it. In fact, I found this photo here at Craven Cottage down there at Fulham. So tell us how that sort of, you know, got started and if you're going to try to maybe incorporate some sort of like soccer, you know, coverage, if that's a part of your plans.
I mean, I was, you know, I knew I was going over to the UK. I was there for about 5 weeks. Most of it I was by myself. And so I wanted to do as many things as possible. And that one actually, Taylor Twellman helped me out because I don't know if you guys have tried to buy tickets when you go over there, but there's a very bizarre system. Like you have to have this sort of membership and it's a little different than what we're used to. And he really just did a great thing and hooked me up with decent seats and how I got in. And it's such an experience. The whole thing starts like midday. That whole area around is just, it's crowded. I would say it's 20-1 dudes. So it's a very like, it's a very sort of different vibe. A lot of beer is being had, but it doesn't matter what the score of the game is. It's just fun. It is everything that you think it is if you've even watched one World Cup, which is, I think, what most of us probably have done. But the chanting and everyone's in and it's just an experience every time. Yeah, at that point, I was like, I don't really know what I want to do next. I thought, maybe I could be an intern for one of these teams. Like, I have no idea. But it's, I wouldn't mind. That's the one thing, too. I was pitching. I was like, why don't we do like a soccer show where we just, I don't know, go to all the soccer games and eat and interview fans and that's perfect on a expense budget, but nobody took the pay up on that one yet.
I know who your first guest could be if you did want to get a guest, because it'd be a banger straight away. It'd be Zach Ann and the Beads.
He's the best. I have this jersey of his. I have to find a place to hang it. It's sitting in the garage, and I know that that's not fair to him to have that thing rotting in the garage. That's a character. I like the characters.
Yeah.
To me, they're the most fun and why this whole thing is a good ride.
Yeah, he's incredible because he's so full of himself, but it's in such an endearing way, isn't it? It's like, most athletes kind of think they're pretty good. Zlatan thinks, he calls himself the God when he left PSG there. But he sort of does it in a way that's like, I can kind of get on board with this guy because he's so much fun.
Yeah, why do we think that is? Because if another athlete said that, we would kill them.
Yeah.
But for some reason, what is it, the smile? Is it the accent? Like, I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is, but it seems to work because
everywhere it up, though, doesn't it? Because I'm not a soccer guy whatsoever, but all I can see is him doing a bicycle kick. Like I feel like he is amazing. And maybe just because he calls himself that, I associate him with the best of the best.
It's brilliant branding on his part.
Yeah.
Very smart. Really knocked that one out of the park.
I know you said, you know, you're going to be focusing on, you know, a bit of, you know, pop culture with What Did I Miss and integrating it with sports. I thought listening to you with Matt Bonner, you made a great point about the top 75 NBA players and the list that just came out. You made a supermodels analogy. I don't know. It was kind of like a throwaway line for you. I don't know if you remember it, but it was perfect.
What did I say?
Like, we keep talking about the top 75 and this guy should be on the list. And this guy, as an NBA show, we do it over and over. We've done it multiple times. Do you remember the supermodels line?
Right. Like, you're not going to go up to Cindy Crawford and tell her you were once one of the hottest, but you're not now because we have a new list. Like, just not how it works.
Yeah.
It should have just been the next 25. Like, here's the new top 25. The other ones are already there. Stipulated.
That's right.
Why do we do that?
I don't know. it became so conflated because I thought initially that's what it was going to be. Top 50, you add in 25 guys. But just like the supermodels, I mean, how can they compete against the newer people that come after them? And it's just a different era.
I can't
talk about supermodel eras, but I know, like, you know, in basketball, there's more teams. There's a bigger player pool. It's just so the guys last longer. They're, you know, health benefits now. It's so different. I don't know how you can just kick off the guys who played
Agreed.
Back then. And then they just decide. Yeah. And I'm with you. Just How do you kick off Dave Counts? Like, see you later, Bill Walton. I just, it doesn't really make sense.
You were great, but, you know, times change. Like, that's not how lists work, if it's an all-time list. Yeah, I thought that was weird, and I'm sure they knew that, because at the end of the day, these lists literally fuel sports networks. So, you know, we live for them. But it is pretty funny, because if you're sweating it out, if you're one of the top, the first 50. Did I get booted?
Yeah, then they ended up keeping all of them, and they said it was via vote, by the vote. So,
which I still don't know who voted, really.
Well, yeah, so there is a list. They did reveal that, right, Lee? I think it was, I mean, a lot of the modern players, like Giannis Antetokounmpo, voted to keep Dave Cowens on the list. Like, how the hell did that happen?
How does he know?
Yeah. He does.
And I think that's where this, like, I think Andre Iguodala has been talking a lot about lists and tops and all that. But that's none of us, I can't speak for them. I can say, I didn't watch a lot of those guys. Like, I was a kid. That wasn't my thing. So it's really hard to ask Giannis to vote on that list, the first 50, but maybe somebody said, just keep the originals.
Well, Giannis didn't even know who Jason Kidd was when Jason Kidd was his coach there. So, you know, he's not gonna. But I that's a thing. I mean, we talked about a lot as well. Like, who's going to be, if there's only one or two guys left off, who's going to say to them, it's like, hey, sorry, you're just not good enough anymore. You were good enough 25 years ago, but not anymore. Yeah, so.
Sorry. I don't know. Like, so they probably should have been a little more transparent about that. Mm. Like, it's really just an additional 25 of the currents.
Right.
I would have been okay with that.
Yeah. Well, now I'm wondering, would Cindy Crawford be on the top 10?
100%.
Yeah, I guess, right?
Yeah. To me, the original supermodels stay regardless, because now everybody calls themselves a supermodel. Like, Instagram models call themselves. And I don't know what that is, but that's a thing that doesn't, I don't understand. But yeah, the original, I think, 6 supermodels stay forever, period. Hmm. I don't know why I know some. I mean, I was like 14, but that's how little girls are raised. We're just raised to look at pretty girls. Right. And we remember everything. Oh, that's scary.
Terrible. I like how you said 6. Are there original 6? Is it?
Yeah,
6?
I think there are. I know, like hockey. Yeah, I think
Cindy, there's... Cindy,
Naomi,
Elle McPherson. I think she's on that list.
She was like the second round because she was more bikini.
Right.
It was like Linda Evangelista, Christy Turlington,
Canadian.
Claudia Schiffer. Which one? Evangelista?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I think I'm missing one.
Just as a callback to saying people are Canadian.
Hey, you got to take credit. they were the OGs. I'm missing the 6th one, but I know there is one.
Naomi Campbell, was she part of it?
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically everyone in the George. Yeah, definitely. The George Michael video had all of them, I think.
Right.
I'm pretty sure.
I remember they started a cafe in the 90s there. It was, well, I remember because I think Elle McPherson, as an Australian, she was a part of that, so it was big. But the fashion cafe didn't last all that long because none of them actually wanted to go in there and wait tables or anything. They were just I'm not actually doing anything. You can put my name to it, but, you know,
Also, what's the food? Is it like lettuce and coffee and cigarettes?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what are they eating? No. It's a great idea on paper.
Mm.
Yeah, you mentioned the George Michael interview. You saw Billy Joel at the F1 race too, right?
Yeah,
part of it.
Still has it. Still gets it done. Still puts on a hell of a show. I don't get it because I mean, 20 years younger than he is, if not 30, and I'm exhausted by 8:30. And like he was just up there on fire. All those guys, that generation, the Bruce Springsteens, all the Rolling Stones. How are they still going? I have no idea. Mm. It's crazy.
Well, it's funny you talk about those as well, because another thing that I've seen populate on your Instagram regularly is a trip to see one of my favorite bands of all time. And maybe now that we're colleagues, we can go together. It is.
Yes!
Where is it? Oh, there it is. Yeah.
That's some Def Leppard action.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know it. Oh, God. They're in L.A. In August because that show got postponed 2 years now.
Right.
So
right.
SoFi, the stadium tour. Oh, it's on my calendar. I don't care what's happening in the world. I will be in L.A. They cannot postpone that again. That is my favorite band to go see live.
Really?
I have no idea why. Like, it's not like I got to see them the first time around, but for some reason in my 40s and my late 30s, I've just gone full on Def Leppard like fan. They were in Vegas. I went to those shows. Like, I don't know. They still sound great.
Yeah.
Phil Collins still plays that guitar, like, you know, shirtless. It doesn't make any sense, but I love it. And the crowds are always very interesting because you think it's going to be everyone our age, but then they're randomly like some young people. And some of those girls, obviously much, much younger than I, you know, I take it upon myself to show the younger generations good shows. And then they take me to theirs, and I win every time. I'm trying not to be that old fuddy-duddy, but it's just not the same.
You got to embrace it, though. I think, you know, when you go to a music event, there's no good sitting around there, just sitting down. You got to get up and enjoy it, yeah. Get into it. And like in that photo, it looks like you and your friends have also sort of gotten dressed for it at the occasion as well. They're with the big frizzy hair. And,
yes, ma'am. Yes, yeah. Ma'am. I mean, the one on the left, Allison, is 12 years old. God bless her for even really being a part of all of it. But but she's been such a good. She has an old soul. She's gone to so many weird old things with me that I it's like the daughter I never had.
Oh, perfect.
<It's> perfect.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Well, let's talk a little hoops because you signed up. I guess you took some time off, but I think the first thing you did out of your mini vacay was become a special correspondent with the San Antonio Spurs.
So funny sounding.
Yeah, it does. Yep. It does sound funny. What does special correspondent mean?
It's really, I go in there, I mock Sean Elliott, I try to get him riled up, and then I leave. Like, it's the best, easiest job I've ever had because it's him who I just adore, and it's. We don't have to go in there and like be super serious about anything. So it's just a very fun. And look, this is a young team as well. Sort of reminds me of that Nets year. Like they're a young team. They're great and fun and exciting. And they seem to really like each other. But I don't think anyone has any misconceived notions that they're going to win the championship this year. So it's going to just be a fun watch. And that's kind of what I'm there for. But yeah, one game a week. They were very easy on my hard work schedule because they knew I had to ease back into the workforce. But yeah, it's been fun. And it was a no-brainer. And it's been great because a lot of the same people were there from 20 years ago when I was an intern. So that has been a really fun thing to watch.
What is your relationship with Greg Popovich like there? Because we know he doesn't have any friends.
Best. No.
certainly on camera, he likes to play that persona where, it's a bit different when you're the sort of local broadcast versus the national guys. He likes to rile those guys up. But what's Popovich really like? What's he been like with you behind the scenes? And what is your relationship with him like?
I mean, he's always just been very nice to me. I think because I started here, my very first anything on camera was here. It's almost like I'm like a little the daughter of the team kind of thing, sister of the team. So he's always been great. I mean, last time I saw him, asks about my dating life, which is that was always fun to talk about. But he's such an intelligent and interesting dude. And I do agree with you. I think he does get a kick, especially as he gets older. You can tell he just gets a kick out of really messing with it. And I love watching people I know when they had to interview him, like George Sedano, Doris Burke.
Yeah.
Doris would get so nervous, like she didn't want to do it. And I just thought that was funny because there is no one better than Doris Burke. And I know Pop respects the heck out of her, but it's still, it's intimidating. Because you don't know if he's going to crush you in that one second.
Yeah.
It makes you sweaty just thinking about it.
It sounds like the best of both worlds with the Spurs, though. It's, you know, they build a force field around them, no media allowed sort of thing. Like, you know, they just don't deal with it. But it seems like, you know, they're freewheeling. I don't know if that's changed over the years, but because, as you mentioned, sort of the expectations are a little bit different right now. It's not all, you know, all button up and all business, but the expectations are, it just sounds like it's, because, you know, like Pop is prickly, but he is also just a warm teddy bear, I think, if you know him. I mean, he is and I can't speak from experience, but I think, you know, he's just a great dude. It's not, I don't know. I know we're all guilty, and I know you hate the Spurs being called boring, but, you know, it's because the media can't get in there, but for them, it's all gravy, you know.
Yeah.
It just sounds like they got it all in that organization.
And I think they look. Everybody has to evolve in every business across the world, and I think the Spurs are not immune to that. This is a very young team, and with that comes a lot of the new sort of ways of life, whether it be social media or the way kids brand themselves. I mean, everybody sort of is doing life differently than they were 20 years ago. And so I think they've done a really good job as an organization. What I've seen so far, they've brought in a lot of really smart, sort of young, fresh brains from all over the place who kind of know the way the game is played, not just on the court these days. And I respect that, because I know that there was the argument used to be made that, oh, the Spurs were stubborn and they never wanted to change. And maybe that was true. I don't know. But I'm not seeing that anymore. And so it's kind of nice to see even the stodgy ones that maybe were a little bit late to the party are like, okay, this is the way it is. I mean, look, you've got a child. There's a child on the team, an adorable kid. And so, like, you have to remember all these
Canadian
things. Oh, I mean, like, doesn't drive yet. And so that has just been, doesn't drive. His sister drives him, or like a service. I mean, it's a beautiful story. It reminds me of when Tony Parker first came here. I mean, he was really young too, but yeah, I think they're doing a good job of sort of evolving, and they built a nice foundation of sort of media leave us alone, which buys you extra time, I think, without having to always be front and center. I mean, it's not like the Lakers are always with a spotlight. Here there's just, it's a little friendlier to be
a lot of young minds, as you said. Also one old head that they brought in, Fabrizio Oberto.
Yes!
He's back. Have you seen that hair in person, that championship hair?
Oh, I have. The first meeting, we had like a broadcast meeting. I walked in and he was sitting there. And then we did something the other day where we went and painted walls at a, I don't know, like a shelter. He's just such a large man. So they put him to work painting everything at the top. So because we only have one ladder. I think his first game that we get to all do together is the end of this month. So I very much look forward to it. He's a very tall, large individual with great hair.
You sound almost jealous there of his hair.
Oh, like, 100% jealous. Like, I'm losing my hair and his hair looks amazing. I'm just like, that's totally unfair, but whatever. That's what hats are for. Perfect.
I'm glad he didn't cut it, because it happens. Like, I think of Louis Scola, and he cut those locks, I think, at one point.
Sometimes I think you cut them thinking you take for granted it'll all come back one day. Yeah. And then some days it doesn't.
Well, I guess that's a bit like Manu Ginobili. He looks a little different than when he started his career. He had that beautiful long hair. But
flowing. I know. It's funny to see some of the old pictures, because you don't watch people age. And then you look at the old pictures, you're like, oh, yeah, no, we were really, really young once.
Oh. Well, to sort of circle back to The Athletic again, what did I miss happening Monday, Wednesday, Friday? So that show was happening 3 times a week?
Yep, allegedly. Until they're like, ah! we're going to start out with 3 times a week. Hopefully it's okay with everyone. Yeah, cool. I'm nervous. Like, any advice?
I don't think you need advice from us.
No, I definitely need. First of all, I haven't worked in over 2 years. Secondly, I've never done a podcast. So yeah, I would say I need advice. I'll take all of it.
Come on, Beatle Media was a podcast for a quick sec.
It was really just like they stole stuff from the radio. Like, it wasn't even like podcast. This is like a real, y'all do.
You're made for podcasting. Just freewheeling.
I like it. No showering.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
I can't. Like, no pants.
That's it. I mean, you got to be comfortable. So, you know,
you don't leave your house. Like, this is my dream come true, to be honest. But yeah, okay.
You took the right 2 years off. Right? You come back and never have to go into a studio again.
I know. I'd sell my car if I had to, but no, it's Texas. Can't get anywhere around here without driving 30 minutes.
Well, one, I saw your first appearance on an Athletic property. It was a point of contention. You're mm-hmm. a guest on Point of Contention on the Athletic NBA show. This, it's sort of, it sparked an idea maybe for your podcast network. You were talking about the Markieff Morris, Nikola Jokic little kerfuffle that happened. And you said, quote, "Jokic is human. Retaliation is what we do." So it sounded like maybe you're speaking from experience. Are there any good revenge stories you'd like to share?
Well, I've been holding on to them for over 2 years. So now that I'm back, I guess this is my time to unleash them. Yeah, I never forget anything. I never forget words or stories or way people do things, which is an Italian Scorpio trait that I'm trying to get rid of, but I haven't been able to in 46 years. So I don't know. It may never leave, but yeah, I'm always... Revenge is a thing. And those, by the way, those Jokic dudes.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Who messes with those two in their right mind?
Yeah. I mean, the Morris brothers, possibly.
No, I don't think they would if it really physically came. If they said, meet us out back, no way. No way. Wow.
I would say they would. It would be a great battle. That's for sure.
You could do it for charity and raise it. I'd rather watch that than like the Logan and Jake stuff. I'd pay for that.
That's a good call.
Too bad. Morris brothers have stuff to do when they're retired.
Well, I think that's it for us. Lee, you got any cues?
Well, you're just talking about, you got Italian heritage. Is that right? Is that your time?
Yeah, I was born in Rome. My mom's born and raised in Rome. Yeah, so it's half Italian, and my dad's side is like, super American.
Wow, so well.
It's a mix.
Because I remember as well on one of your off seasons, you had a pasta streak going there for a while where you ate was it Alfredo pasta like 11 days in a row or something like that?
It was spaghetti with clams all over that. That is my 17 straight days. Wow. I've never done anything even close to that remarkable in my life since. Mm. So it's been the best thing I've ever done. I miss it.
Mm. Well, maybe
in Amalfi.
But maybe that's the other thing, is you can sort of branch off from just sports as well to sort of other sort of human achievement stories here. And I mean, there's one there for you, I mean,
that's actually not about like achievement stories that maybe no one else wants to do.
Yeah.
so we take those and run with it. Yeah. You know what? That's not awful, because there are things people do that I find fascinating that maybe no one else does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's how you really successfully put something out to the public, if you're the only one who finds it interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Fair enough. You guys have like 3 ideas already. Brilliant.
It sounds like that We Are the Champions on Netflix, if that's right, JD. Was that what it was called? Or I Am the Champions, We Are the Champions. It was all sorts of random competitions that sort of under the radar competitions, like frog jumping.
Yeah, like stuff you do with your friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, random stuff.
The 17 clam, was it spaghetti and clams?
Yep. Yeah,
that sounds like a pick and payoff to me, guys.
yeah.
It's pretty
17
good.
17 days. Yeah, I mean, it's also it's up there with roast beef Arby's that Taz.
We have these dumb bets where we have to do something embarrassing.
Kill your insides.
Yeah. So
basically, yeah.
But it got really lame during the last year and a half because we're at home. Usually, we're in a studio, so we do something.
Right.
I don't know.
Wait, what was the eating stuff? Because I'm all in on the eating challenges. Like, I'm there. I'm always going to do that. What was the Arby's thing?
No, that was...
Yeah, go on, Tassie.
That was
sad.
It was so sad. More sad than anything. Well, it was a tie-in to our show because we talk about beef a lot on our show.
Perfect.
And so I literally... It was a dumb thing. I literally had to eat beef with applesauce on it at 10 a.m. A roast beef sandwich with applesauce on it at 10 a.m. Not a very difficult achievement.
No, I mean, I would do it. Wait, why am I missing the applesauce tie-in?
Yeah, this is deep. We call it roast beef 20 rebounds. Applesauce is like 10, 15 assists a game. I don't know.
It's supposed to be a punishment, but it's not.
It doesn't
really
sound like one. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'll help you guys on the food stuff.
Yeah, all right.
Do you consider yourself a foodie?
I love, it's what separates us from the rest of the animal kingdom. We have choices and we maximize them. I mean, every time I go to a great restaurant, you're like, this is why we get to win this one, because we get this menu of things. Like, my dog gets to eat the same thing every single day, still excited about it, but has no idea what they're missing. And so it's my favorite part about being a human is the food part. Yeah. Let's just be honest.
Yeah. When I heard you pronounce J-U-S, Jus, you pronounce Jus. It perfect. That's foodie written all over it.
What a snob. Fair enough.
Snob. Nah, come on. Well, that's it for us. Again, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. What did I miss? Thank you so much for joining us today, Michelle. We really, really appreciate it. This is how we end our shows. It's a really dumb way, but let's end our show. JD, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Classic Clipper Bros. Classic. And then usually I say something dumb at the end, like a quip, a little sort of like a Jerry Springer line. And remember, and then I say something. Do you have anything, you know, really smart?
Yes. Remember, there really are stupid questions.
Embrace the weekend, people. You could stay. Ooh.